This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Resource Centre. The government's decision to reopen the country's international borders to healthcare travellers serves as a positive indicator for Malaysia's economy as it marks a significant rebound for the healthcare travel industry. As patient visitor safety remain the topmost priority, this allowance is further subjected to the approved stringent SOPs. And these SOPs include, but are not limited to, healthcare travellers registering with MHTC before travelling here for treatment. Who's MHTC? That's the Malaysian Health Healthcare Travel Council, and I'm here with the CEO, Shireen Azli. Nice to be speaking to you, Shireen.
Thank you for having us, Frida.
Right. Now, Shireen, you've been the CEO of MHTC since 2015. What kind of contributions are we talking about over the last 5 years when we talk about the healthcare travel space?
Yes, I've been here since 2015, and since then it has been nothing less than exciting for me. It has been an exciting journey because in the last 5 years, Malaysia healthcare medical travel industry recorded a CAGR of 17% year on year growth. So you're looking at us outperforming the world's average at 10 to 12%, and even the fastest growing region only registered about 14%. That's Asia Pacific. Right. So Malaysia has been doing great, has been doing well, and I have all the team and the stakeholders of Malaysia healthcare to thank for. And in the last 5 years as well, we have received so many recognitions from all over the world. One of them is that International Living United States have recognized Malaysia as the country with the best healthcare system in the world from 2015 to 2019. And that's, you know, a very big recognition for Malaysia because it recognizes that Malaysia has the world-class quality, the affordability, the immediate accessibility to world-class healthcare. So that's one big recognition. Other than that, we also have been recognized as the destination destination of the year for medical travel by the International Medical Travel Journal based in London since 2015-16-17, and we have been the honorably mentioned as well in the other recognitions and awards. And our hospitals are doing no less than us, you know. I mean, our hospitals, they have their own recognitions. They have been recognized as, you know, the medical travel hospital of the year. They have been recognized with the ones with the best customer service, best cardiology center, for example, best IVF center of the world. And these are all big achievements that we need to shout about and share with our Malaysians out there, and also our potential patients from all over the world. So last year, 2019, we recorded 1.3 million patients coming into Malaysia. And that gave us about close to 1.8 billion ringgit in revenue to our hospitals and contributed to about 8 to 9 billion ringgit into the economy. And that's a very significant contribution because if you look into the let's say you're talking about the contribution to the economy, right, Frida? It's actually contributing to about 8 to 9% of the overall tourism receipts.
Right.
So that's only from a single medical tourism, subsector.
Right.
So, So achievements for Malaysia.
So basically when you say it's 1.8 billion to hospitals, but when they come here, I guess they stay in hotels, they eat here, they come with their family, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's the one that actually gave the 8 to 9 billion total contribution to the economy.
You know, for people,
all the ancillary services,
right? And I know MHTC itself has been around for a long time, close to 20 years. For people who don't know what MHTC is, what services do you all provide, actually?
Okay, actually, we were only 10 years old, 11 years old, actually.
Right.
We were set up in 2009 as a agency, but corporatized in 2011. So when the active involvement of Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council really started since 2009. So last we were born under the EPU and also the Ministry of Health Malaysia. And the mandate given were two, a very strong, clear mandate. Number one is to promote the medical travel industry for Malaysia as a country, as a destination. And number two is actually to look into the facilitation of the industry overall, which means that we look at the sustainability of the industry end to end. So if you ask me, you know, the easier part is to actually promote. But the hardest part is actually to build an end-to-end ecosystem that is serving the needs of a medical traveller coming into Malaysia, and to ensure the sustainability of the industry for years to come. So that's more the focus. And what's unique about Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, Frida, is that we are the only agency that serves the private sector, even though we are in the public sector. So, and in fact, nowhere in the world that you can find such agency. And because of that, Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council itself has been recognized as the model for the best public-private partnership in healthcare.
Right.
And this, I mean, we've won awards in the US, in the UK for this, and in Europe. And even, you know, the United Nations, WHO recognize our role in enabling and building and facilitating the growth of medical travel for Malaysia. So currently we have about 70 member hospitals under Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council out of the 250 private hospitals in Malaysia. Right. And these hospitals have, you know, fulfilled all the criteria needed. For example, they need to have international accreditation, they need to have excellent international patient services for all our medical travelers, etc. So this is where we are now. And talking about in the last 10 years, when it comes to our achievements that we have gotten, you can actually, for those interested, you know, in the public or our stakeholders, they can go to our website, www.malaysiahealthcare.org, and download our Malaysia Healthcare Chronicles, which is basically a report card of 10 years.
Right.
Okay. Our existence, yeah.
Okay. And what sort of treatments do patients come to Malaysia for, mostly?
Yes. Before I answer the question, I will have to tell you where they come from first.
Yes. That was my next question.
Yeah. Actually, where they come from determines the kind of treatments that they will come for. Like, for example, out of the 1.3 million patients that we had last year, 60% of them came from Indonesia, right? So for Indonesian patients that come to Malaysia, they came for everything, you know, from the basic health screening up to the most complex cases, you know, oncology, cardiology, neurology, and any surgeries and treatments. So they come for everything. I'm talking about Indonesians.
Right.
The second highest arrivals would be from China, right? And China patients come for two main things. They come for health screening and fertility treatment. So they come for IVF treatment, like in vitro fertilization. They come for all the different fertility treatments that we offer. And that's basically the profile of our Chinese patients. And then the third will be coming from India. And the rest will be coming from Southeast Asia, Singapore, and then Vietnam, Myanmar, and then we have Bangladesh, Middle East. So every single country, they have their different profiles.
Okay.
Yeah. But the top treatments would be IVF, cardiology, oncology, orthopedic, neurology.
Right.
And also aesthetics.
Ah, yes. That one, aesthetics. Okay. That one, they go to South Korea.
They used to, but we are gaining popularity there.
Right. Okay. So how does MHTC market Malaysia's healthcare services overseas? What do you all do, you know, in terms of getting them to come over?
Okay, we have our how would I say, three-pronged strategy when looking into this, right? As I mentioned, the main thing is talking about the promotion just now. We work with the different agencies in the country to bring all this together. So I mentioned just now that we promote the private sector, even though that we are in the public, we are a public agency, right? So what we do is that we work towards enabling the industry through the regulation, the policy enablers, etc. And in terms of promotion, we also work with all the multiple stakeholders. For example, we work very closely with MITI, Ministry of International Trade and Industry, because you know we have MATRED in under their agency, and MATRED promotes services and export services abroad. So we work with them. But our main partner in crime, I would say, would be MOTEC, Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture, and their agency, which is Tourism Malaysia. So wherever Tourism Malaysia goes and wherever there are catchment for medical travellers, we would be with them. We would work with Tourism Malaysia. So we don't encourage duplications between all the different government agencies. And then we also work with Wisma Putra because these are the, you know, they have embassies everywhere, you know, and MHTC only has offices in Indonesia, in China, in Vietnam, Myanmar, and we have an agent in Bangladesh. So the rest of the world, we actually work with all these established agencies, you know, Tourism Malaysia, MATRED, to a certain extent, MIDA, and also Wisma Putra. So these are what we call, who we would call our ambassadors in promoting. So that's one part of the promotion, right? The other part is actually getting partners to be on board with us. For example, China is a big market. And China is unique in their own way, right? Yes, we can use our MATRED, our tourism or embassies, but it's too big a market, it's too unique that we need to have a strong partner in China. So in China, we have worked with one partner that have helped us reach out to about, you know, 80 over cities there. We even set up our Malaysia International Referral Clinics, a collaboration between MHTC and our partner in China. Currently, we have about 4 clinics already set up. And these are the ones that, you know, filter the patients as in, you know, you have the first appointments for the patients and then start referring patients into Malaysia. That's the partnership. And also, we have many partners all over the world that we work with, whom we call health facilitators. So these are facilitators. They will reach out to the patients. They will arrange for them to come over. It's like agent kind of thing, right? And then they will organize the end-to-end service. And the last part is the direct marketing. So these ones, you know, we use the social media, we use the digital platform, and we also do events in all the different countries. For example, Indonesia, you know, they like having big events. So we have all the, what we call Malaysia Healthcare Expos in their big malls, you know, and then we have like 20, 30 hospitals and our Tourism Malaysia and State Tourism coming with us on board and being there, meeting the patients, and you know, we bring our doctors, we do health talks, we do simple health screening, so they can get engaged with us. So different markets, we have different strategies.
Right. Obviously that strategy cannot work for now. The expo. We'll talk a little bit about the healthcare travel industry post COVID-19 after this. I'm here with Shireen Azli, CEO of the Malaysian Healthcare Travel Council. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Business filled minds, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Resource Centre. Good morning, Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Shireen Azli, the CEO of Malaysian Healthcare Travel Council, MHTC, talking about the healthcare industry, healthcare travel industry, and what it means for us moving forward. Can you give us an overview, Shireen, of the healthcare travel industry moving forward?
Thank you, Frida, for that question. I think this is a question that any business person would not have a definitive answer to, because of the recent COVID crisis that's facing the world. So we are not excluded with that. So as you mentioned just now, that we can't do, you know, the active events abroad. We, in fact, when the borders are closed, we can't have patients coming in, and if you're looking at the impact this year due to COVID, we were expecting at the start to have about 2 billion ringgit in revenue for our hospitals and 10 billion ringgit contribution to the economy in total for 2020, right? When COVID hit, Now, realistically, we can only look at about 500 million ringgit revenue to the hospitals, and maximum, I think, about 2 billion ringgit contribution to the economy. So that's about 75% dip from the original forecasted figure that we were looking at. So in order for us to start preparing for a rebound, you know, because we know that there are people out there, there are patients out there knocking our doors, even at the start of MCO, until now, almost on a daily basis, they say, can we come in? Can we come in? So we know the demand is out there. So what do we do now? You know, what is the plan moving forward in preparing for that rebound, right? So realistically, if you look ahead, I think almost all industry, especially tourism, we don't expect to have any full rebound and full travel behaviors, you know, returning until perhaps end of 2021 or 2022. So that's the realistic picture that we can paint. So in order for us to build that confidence that, you know, while we acknowledge that the behavior of tourists or medical tourists will perhaps change with COVID, you know, people will be more cautious, people would be more calculative to travel, but we need to ensure that they are engaged and their trust and their confidence in us remains. So that's where we are at now, right? So our strategies now in preparing for that rebound is continuous engagement with our patients abroad, with our potential markets, in building that confidence and restoring that trust in Malaysia as a healthcare destination. So how do we do that? What we do now is that we fully utilize our digital assets, you know, social media, telemedicine, teleconsult. We look at how we can reach out to our patients, you know, even the basic webinars, and how do we tell them that, you know, Malaysia is doing so well in COVID. We've got a lot of stories, successes. Malaysia has been recognized as the top 5 countries in the success of dealing with COVID, right? Our recovery rate is 98%, amongst the highest in the world. And, you know, on average, you're looking at 60%, 80, 70%. We are at 98%. Our Director General of Health had been recognized as the top 3 doctors of the world.
He's brilliant.
Yes, he is just, and he's in our board, by the way.
Yes, I saw
In our Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council board. So he's a very, I mean, these are all the feel-good factor, feel-good stories that you want to share with our patients. And they know that, oh, we can trust Malaysia. You know, Malaysia will take care of me. And the way that we deal with the spread of COVID, you know, it really tells a different story. And recently as well, WHO has also recognized Malaysia for our credibility. We have very strong pandemic and crisis management in place. Our MIPS hospital, the one in Serda, that has been recognized as the fastest hospital being set up, you know, within 3-4 days for that kind of huge capacity. And the recent acknowledgement by the Economics Intelligence Unit that Malaysia is the top 3 countries that's best prepared for cancer is also kind of a good story. And this is big because cancer has a very high prevalence now, especially in Asia. And when Malaysia is one of the top 3 being most prepared in Asia Pacific, that gives us, you know, a lot of mileage when it comes to establishing trust and confidence. And I think that's what we are doing now.
Okay,
preparing all that.
So it's just
before the border opens.
Right, just talking about how this is Malaysia is, you know, our track record, right, which is quite good, right, in terms of healthcare. I guess like waiting for the borders to open. Do you think they'll make an exception for healthcare travelers though? Do you think that will change?
Yeah, they have actually. Okay, the borders haven't opened, but we have started receiving patients from the 1st of July.
Right. So they...
Because when we started with MCO, and then when MCO extended after the first 2 weeks, right, then we realized, you know, it's not going to be like an overnight thing. So we needed to do something. So Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, together with our stakeholders and also Ministry of Health Malaysia, we have worked together to put together a strict stringent SOP, you know, strict protocols, to start looking at building or opening up a medical travel bubble.
Right.
So then you don't have to wait for the borders to open, but we need to make sure that, you know, build confidence that our National Security Council will, and also the government is confident that, yes, we can open the medical travel bubble first because, you know, we have taken all the measures to ensure that the safety and the interests of Malaysia and Malaysians are protected. So we don't have any imported cases, etc. So we have put through the SOP for a National Security Council's approval, and that has been approved, and they have allowed patients to start coming in 1st July. So when you look into the SOP, it's actually very strict. One of the things is that, you know, patients wanting to come into Malaysia will have to do a pre-departure COVID test 3 days before.
Right.
When only when they are negative will we give them the approval to travel, and they have to apply to MHTC and MHTC member hospital. And MHTC will work with immigration, Jabatan Immigration Malaysia, to make sure that, you know, they are allowed to come in. And then when they come in, they currently, because there are no commercial flights, they will have to come either through chartered flights or special arrangements or medical evacuation. So when they come in, when they landed, they have to do another COVID test immediately at the hospital. So they can't go to hotels. They will be shipped from the from the airport straight to the hospital, checked into the hospital, do the COVID test, and be isolated for 14 days in the hospital. And on the 13th day, they will have to do another COVID test to before we can release them. So within that 14 days, they can continue treatment at the hospitals.
Right.
Yeah. So this is how we are, if you can say, you know, isolating that bubble from the risk of spreading unnecessary, you know, imported cases into the country.
Oh, okay. And obviously people who can come on charter flights are of a different category altogether. You know, just a final question, right? When you talk, when you look at all these countries, right, in terms of medical tourism, top five, Thailand, India, South Korea and Singapore next to, together in Malaysia, what would then be our USP, you know, compared to these different countries?
I'm glad you asked that question because now it gives me the opportunity to clarify. As of last year, Lying Liaison Research of Global Market Research in Global Market Travel Research 2019 has recorded that Malaysia is currently the country with the most medical travel volume in the world. So we are number one. At one point, at that point of time, we were only at 1.2 in 2018. So, yeah, we are the number one country in the world now for medical travel destination based on volume.
Right.
So, technically, the second is actually United States. And the third, then you can see South Korea, Thailand coming after us. So, now we are in a leading position. So, and how do we get to that leading position? When compared to our competitors, the ones you mentioned just now. Our competitors, they had been here ahead of us, maybe about 20 years ahead. You know, they've got into the business long before us. For Malaysia, one strong value proposition that I think not very many people can emulate is the fact that we have an overall world-class quality healthcare system that immediately accessible and affordable. I think, you know, people like, for example, in the United States, they can claim that they have, you know, the most advanced, the best healthcare system, but they're very costly, for example. The other countries, they have, yes, world-class healthcare system, but to see a specialist will take you 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, you know, you have to wait before you can get to see a specialist.
Right.
Here in Malaysia, you pick up the phone, you make an appointment, and you can just walk into a hospital.
Right.
To see a specialist. And our pricing are the most competitive in the world. The only one that can sort of, you know, match us, or, you know, or we in competition with them pricing wise would be India.
Right. Okay.
So
it's interesting. You say that India is also a medical tourism destination, but we also market to India. So obviously the offerings are different when we have Indian patients coming to Malaysia.
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
I mean, even like Singapore is a destination, right?
Yeah.
But Singapore arrivals into Malaysia is one of the top 10.
Mm, okay.
Similarly, Japan as well. Right. They are also a destination for medical travel, but they are not a big destination, but they are a destination, but they are amongst the top 10 arrivals as well for us.
Mm.
And even the United States, with 20, 24 hours traveling time, they are also in our top 10 arrivals.
Right.
And they are second to us in terms of volume, which means that they are immediate competitor to us. Not in the region, of course, but, you know, they are the main arrivals. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, medical travel is all about choices. Each destination have their own proposition. It's how you play in that, you know, how you carve your own space in that industry. And be clear about that proposition. You know, I mean, some countries, they say that, our proposition is aesthetic. Some countries, like the Eastern Europe, their proposition would be dentistry, for example.
Right.
For Malaysia, our proposition is that, you know, we have the world-class quality services that's immediately accessible and affordable.
Right.
And that's very hard to match. That's very hard to match.
Mm. All right. Thank you for sharing and giving some insights. You know, let's hope for better times ahead. I've been speaking to Shireen Azli, the CEO of the Malaysian Healthcare Travel Council, MHTC. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.